Good evening, and welcome to Verse by Verse. My name is Brenton Powers, and tonight we're going to continue our study through the Bible in Romans chapter 5. Last week we studied verse 1 and 2, and today we'll study verse 3, 4, and 5.
Wash me clean in the warm sun, dry me.
So let's read Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That was Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. So let's continue our study, looking specifically at verse 3 through 5. Paul is continuing the thought of what is the result of our justification. In other words, if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and God counts us just as if we've never sinned, then what is the result besides being able to rejoice in the hope of glory? Well, in verse 3 he says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Now let's stop there. This is a little difficult to understand. It's easy to rejoice knowing that my eternal destiny is going to be in the presence of God's glory with great joy. That's a great hope. But what about now? What about the suffering we have to endure in this life, in this fallen world? How can we rejoice in that? Paul answers that question by saying, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So how can we handle and how can we even rejoice in our sufferings? It has to do with what we know. Did you know that our suffering as Christians actually produces something good? It's not all bad to suffer. In fact, there's much good that God wants to bring about through suffering in our lives. What does suffering produce? Paul says it produces endurance, or in other English translations, patience. The ability to endure suffering can only be learned by suffering. If you're never tested with suffering, if you never experience any suffering, then your tolerance for pain will be very low. I remember when I was a little child, if I got a little paper cut, I would cry so loud you would think my arm was cut off. But then I would see my dad get a cut, and he didn't cry. I wondered, how did he not cry? That looks more painful than what I had. Well, he was mature. He had experienced suffering, and a little cut, even though it was painful, it became not a big deal. And at other times, when he was teaching me how to play tennis, he gave me hard things to do, and some of the exercises were painful. Having to run across the court back and forth, it made me tired, it made my muscles sore, but in order to become a better tennis player, there was suffering involved. In sports, they often use this saying, no pain, no gain, which means you can't build up your muscles and your endurance unless you push yourself, unless you are pushed to your limits. And so it's true in sports that suffering produces endurance. You can't run a marathon if you've been sitting on the couch the whole time. So also it's true in the Christian walk. It will be hard to run the long race of the Christian life if you're never pushed to the point of suffering. So knowing that suffering as a Christian produces perseverance, we can rejoice in that suffering, because a little pain can bring a lot of gain. But it doesn't stop with just growing in endurance, but endurance produces something good too. Paul says, and endurance produces character. Endurance produces character. Again, let's use the sports analogy. Being able to run a long race, for some people, it shapes their character, their identity. They're more confident in who they are because they know from experience what they're capable of. But even more, as Christians, Though bodily exercise is of a little profit, the Bible says, godliness is profitable for all things, both this life and the life to come. So as we learn endurance in our Christian walk, we learn how to pray longer. We learn how to spend time studying the Bible without getting tired. We learn how to take insults from the non-Christian world. As that endurance increases, that produces a Christ-like character in our lives. Isn't that something to rejoice in? Knowing that our identity as Christians is becoming clearer? The Bible says God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means that God is working in our character to make us more like Jesus. And He uses suffering. That leads to endurance. And He uses the endurance to produce character. And we can rejoice in this process. But the process doesn't end there. Paul says that character produces something good, too. What does character produce? Romans 5:4 says, and character produces hope. Hope. Character produces hope. What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of the good that is coming to us in the future. As Christians, we have a great hope. Our hope is in the promise that Jesus Christ will give us life from the dead, and that we will be with Him forever. But hope is not something that we just experience for the future. Hope is something we can experience right now. Although I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes yet, I know that I will, but I can experience God on another level. I can experience His Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart. This is a more subjective experience that the Bible talks about here in Romans 5, verse 5. I love this verse. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Let's spend the rest of our time today focusing on this verse. Why isn't this hope that God gives us a disappointing kind of hope? Because it's not only for the future what's going to happen in the next life. This is a hope that endures, a hope that changes our character today, a hope that we can feel on an emotional level. The heart is the place of our emotions, our desires, and the deepest place that God can touch. And since, as believers in Christ, we have been justified by faith, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God put His Holy Spirit in us. Notice how Romans 5:5 says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. You know, not every human being has God's Spirit living in him. But if you are a true Christian who believes in the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, defeating sin and death, God counts your faith as righteousness, and He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is what the Bible teaches. Also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in Him, that is in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The seal, in old times, was a way of showing who owned some property. God places His seal upon us when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and His blood that paid for our sins. He redeemed us. He purchased us. He paid our ransom so that we can be free, but not free to serve ourselves, but we're free to serve Him and to serve one another. So the Holy Spirit, Paul says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised to send into the world after He ascended back into heaven. As believers, we have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in us. As Jesus said to His disciples, He is with you and He shall be in you. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He begins to do a work Having saved us, he begins to sanctify us, to make us holy, to set us apart for the things of God. He gives us assurance that we're saved, and he gives us hope that he will complete the work that he started in us. And so going back to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we learn another one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God. How much love is given to us? Well, it's poured out. It's not trickled out. It's not just dripping out. It's poured out abundantly, like a waterfall. God's love flows through the Holy Spirit in our hearts, through the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and it causes us to not be ashamed. I know that God loves me, not just because Jesus demonstrated God's love on the cross, which he did. It's a great love. But because the Holy Spirit in me reminds me of how much he loves me, and he enlightens my eyes so that I can see the unseen. Right now, God loves me, and he loves you. And if you're a Christian, you've received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, saying, I love you. Jesus loves you. God the Father loves you. And he's telling you, whether you truly believe in him or not, he's telling you where you stand before God. He convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, so you can be convinced of what those three things are. And he comforts believers with the knowledge of God's love and with the experience of God's love. Now notice what tense this action is. When does God pour out his love in our hearts? Paul says, God's love has been poured into our hearts. Has been poured is in the past tense. Having been justified by faith, God's love has been poured into our hearts. You know, God's act of justifying a sinner is an act of love. God's act of giving the Holy Spirit to a new believer is an act of love. God's act of using suffering to produce character and hope in our lives is an act of love. So the next time you're suffering, or if you're suffering right now, remember, God loves you, and he's going to use this for your good and for his glory. If you're a Christian, you can rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that it's all part of God's plan to conform you to the image of Christ and to make the hope of his glory even that much more joyful and hopeful for you. Because ultimately, your life as a Christian is not about this world and everything that's going on around you and how you're feeling. Your life is about the glory of God. How can I live to please him? How can I serve his purposes? How has God made me to be a witness of him to the world? That's our heart as Christians. We want to be used by God, and we won't be ashamed of our hope as a Christian. We do not need to be ashamed because we have hope, but we can boast in the Lord because he is real and we have experienced his love in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'll pray now. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell in all who believe in you. God, I thank you that I know you, and I thank you that one day I will see you. So continue to give me endurance and to give me character that's more like Jesus, and to help me rejoice in my sufferings because I know you, because I've experienced your love, and I believe that you will work all things for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purposes. So I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the ministry that he does in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you've enjoyed today's message. And if you'd like to listen to any of our past recordings, you can find them at facebook.com/CalvaryLatvia.
Wash me clean in the warm sun, dry me.
Or if you're interested in attending Calvary Chapel Bible College Europe, go to ccbce.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.